All right, well, good morning. I almost always forget to introduce myself. For new folks, my name's Doug. I'm one of the pastors here at Hope. Glad all y'all are here today. Before we get into the message time this morning, I do want to just say thank you so much for this whole Advent season and especially Christmas Eve. Like, you know, there are a lot of folks that every week behind the scenes for things to just come together and be able to love and serve our church family. I mean, even this wasn't planned, but like my wife is amazing. She noticed this morning that, we didn't have somebody scheduled to do coffee, so Heidi kind of knows how to do the coffee. So there was coffee. I think we were avoiding a mutiny. But, you know, part of me is like, as a cold brew drinker, I'm like, hey, you know what? I bet if we skip the coffee 1 week, we might have a few people join the monthly rotation to serve coffee. But thank you, Heidi. Jumped in, saved the day, kept people awake. But also, like, back to Christmas Eve, like, there are so many people who just kind of work behind the scenes to make it a great night. There's our office manager, Addie. She's on a much-deserved vacation seeing family in California. But we've got Troy and Carrie McDonald. Troy led worship this morning, but he was back there running sound and tech and programming lights and getting everything ready on Christmas Eve and getting the team scheduled and getting people in the room and to get all that stuff happening. Such servant leaders behind the scenes. We have Devin, our youth pastors, Devin, Will, Christy, the Hopkins boys. They like just come in and like make things happen. You got Michelle McCracken and Chris McCracken, who are just kind of like, hey, wherever we are needed, we're all in. We'll love and serve people at the door and greet people and make sure they're welcome. We'll run tech, that we'll do landscaping around the outside. These people just are so fantastic. It's so beautiful. A lot of folks commented and noticed that the decorations this year were just really beautiful. You guys see that too? Yeah, so embarrass Monica wherever she's hiding in here somewhere. Monica and her team and those guys, they pulled it together, did such a nice job making this house just look beautiful. So it was so wonderful. I want to say thank you to everybody. I'm sure I missed some people too, but it was just a beautiful night. It was simple. We do very simple Christmas Eve here at Hope. Simple, beautiful. We're not trying to do a big production. And it's just fun to just kind of watch through that night and to have kind of my vantage point to see what's happening a lot of times in the room. My friend, Pastor Jason Turner, their church is replanting, rebooting. And so Jason shows up and with his family and some folks from his church. And he said, hey, from the culture, my church culture, we don't do Christmas Eve services. I thought, well, this would be fun. Let's go check this out. And afterwards, he's like, this is just beautiful. Like, this is, we're going to start doing this in our church because it's such a wonderful way to kick into the Christmas holiday. So that was fun. It was fun as we did the candlelights around the edge at the end just to be able to look people in the eye and to just then look around the room and see the impact. There's one of our dear, sweet older ladies who I know she has had such a hard year. And I just happened to be standing next to her up here after we were all lighting candles. And just, she was so moved. And part of what she was moved by was just like, not that she's not alone, that she's a part of this church family. And to just see the light around just stirred something in her. And I was so like honored to be able to stand next to her and see the impact. And just to be like, man, thank you, Jesus, that you just show up in really cool ways. And I heard lots of different folks just that it was what they needed to get Christmas going. So it reminds me that the goal of that Christmas Eve service, or really any service we do, the goal is not the service itself. It's not about perfect production. It's not about pristine, you know, excellence. No, we want to encounter God. We want to make space to encounter God. And sometimes we need to get out of the way a little bit so that we don't overdo something, trying to guarantee that people are going to have an experience when the Holy Spirit does show up. And the Holy Spirit does show up. And the beauty at Christmas is this reminder that God came near in Jesus. When Jesus was born, it was God reminding us that he is here, he is near. And when we gather and celebrate like that, it's another reminder that not only did God come near, God is still coming near to us. God is still entering real lives, yours and mine, with his story. So that was Wednesday, Christmas Thursday. Today's Sunday, it's like 3-4 days later. For me, like the Sunday after Christmas always feels a little different. Anybody else? Like, just feels like, woohoo, that was really fun, and this is really fun. But it's just so fascinating how that Sunday after Christmas is, because Christmas Eve, it's behind us, the rush is over, all the family gatherings. Some of you, anybody here tired? Right? Anybody grateful? Anybody grateful? Yeah, that Christmas is over? You're grateful? Yeah. Anyone here quietly relieved that Christmas is over? Yeah, all of you who planned the family party are ready. Yeah, that's you. You're relieved. Yeah. And I know that some of you, as we now move from Christmas into a new year, some of you are carrying things into this new year, maybe that you didn't expect. Like, your story has maybe taken a turn, and or there's something in front of you that maybe you weren't expecting. And so this week we're going to wrap up this Advent series about stories and about God's story and our stories. And all through this Advent season, we've been talking about how Christmas is a story to believe, because the coming of Jesus, the gift of Jesus, his story changed your story and my story. It's not just a story of the coming of Jesus that we only remember right at Christmas, although it's awesome to remember that at Christmas, but also all through our year, we get to keep remembering that Jesus is continually coming into our stories, and we just need to welcome him, trust him to work in our stories. And I think it's really worth reflecting on how it is that God is at work in our individual stories. It's really worth reflecting on that. It's worth stopping, pausing, which is kind of what we're doing today, pausing a little bit before we jump into the new year, to reflect on what it means for Jesus to have come into not just our world, but into our lives, into our stories. In fact, I kind of got kicked in this direction of story and reflection when I think of what Luke writes after Jesus was born. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, like all the stuff happens. It's a crazy whirlwind. It's a lot going on. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 19, after all the chaos of the birth and the visitations and the prophecies and the shepherds and the temple and all this stuff, Luke 2, verse 19 says this, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So all this stuff happens, and us Bible nerds like me, we like to put together, oh yeah, all the prophecies that got fulfilled, and that's fine, that's good. Mary didn't do that. Not yet, anyway. She treasured all the things that she had just experienced and saw, all the storyline, and then she pondered them. She reflected on them. She held on to the parts that she could see and understand and to the parts that she doesn't yet understand about who this baby Jesus is and how it will change not only her story, but the story and the history of our world. She ponders, she notices. And so that's just what today is about. We wanted to notice some of where God is at work in our stories. And see, for us too, there are treasures that God has dropped into our lives that unless we stop to ponder, to notice, to wonder, to look a little deeper, it's easy just for it to kind of sail by. Christmas is done, let's move on. But to treasure these things, to ponder them, I think helps us to notice where God is at work. And to reflect on that helps us to connect with where God is maybe moving in our stories as well. So instead of a typical kind of sermon today, what we're going to do, we're going to listen. We're going to hear from three different people who have pondered a little bit of their story, who have looked at some of what God has been doing, where God has been at work, and three folks from our church family, different ages, different backgrounds, different seasons of life, about what God has been doing in them, in their stories, in this especially past year, but really all of our stories are an extension of many years leading into. So we're going to listen. And by the way, you know, these aren't like polished, scripted, heavily coached, like, hey, let's make sure there's a happily ever after miracle ending story, right? None of them are up here going to go, hey, look how perfectly great everything turned out. So if you just do these three steps, the same thing will happen for you. No story is really that way anyway. Not perfect stories. And by the way, this is Hope Covenant after all. So no perfect people and no perfect stories. Amen? Okay, yes, yes. These are just kind of honest glimpses, ponderings of what it looks like to trust Jesus in our journey, and then to keep trusting Jesus as the story unfolds. And I'll just tell you, like, it's so amazing. When we ponder, when we stop, when we notice, it's amazing to see what God shows up and does when we notice where he is at work. So as you listen to these stories, I also know that some of their stories are going to intersect with parts of your story. Don't compare your stories. Comparison's never fun, it's the thief of joy. But notice where maybe some of their story bumps up against maybe what's going on in your story. And my hope is that as you recognize some of those similarities in your story between theirs and yours, you'll be encouraged, and maybe you'll stop and notice and ponder and reflect about where God might be meeting you in your story, engaging, connecting with you in your story. So, first one up, Brave. Brave, are you ready? You still in? All right, let's welcome Josh Ramos. This guy's brave. I think it was Christmas Eve, and I said, hey, I asked somebody to do it, and he was a little nervous. So would you be willing to do, you know, he was like, yep. He's like, all in. So thanks, Josh. Let's hear a little bit about what God's been up to in your life and your story.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to talk about my testimony today. During the time before I had met Christ, I was in my seventh grade year. And during that time, my parents were in the late stages of separating from their marriage. At that time, I was meant to be learning and growing a lot. And during that time, I felt like it took a toll on my heart, because it hurt that the two people that were closest to me and that loved me the most had been separating, and I hadn't been able to fully comprehend the fact that the two people that I loved had been separating. It made me feel lonely and stressed. It had me in a stressful loop as a young kid, figuring out that my family and early life just wouldn't look the same. So during that summer, my best friend Aiden and his family had been bringing me to church for about every single Wednesday and Sunday. And it was a way to escape that chaos in my house. It was able for me to leave the things that were happening at home and continue something that I wasn't so sure about. And during that time, Aiden had told me about a trip to from Arizona to California in the summer, where you'd find and do fun things and learn about God. And I wasn't so sure about it. But during that trip, the hurt and loneliness that I was feeling from all that pain had been carried away from me because of the fact that I was learning and figuring out what a God that loves you so much and cares for you, how that takes you off from your burdens. During those same experiences, I carried the feeling that I didn't know what was going to come out of this trip, but being around the same people, same age, and maybe not the same experiences, but the same kind of thought process of what is going to come out of this trip. I remember worshiping in a group together at the church that we went to, where my youth pastor Devin, he had told me to step out of the group for no particular reason. I was in a friend group, and he told me to step out and just sit next to him and also my youth pastor Will. I was then forced to listen to the worshiping, and not then did I.
You weren't in trouble? Were you
in trouble?
No, I wasn't in trouble. I don't know. He just decided to move me away from there. I guess that was God talking to
him. I always got in trouble. That's why I got separated.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I bet you did.
Not you. That's good.
Yeah, in that moment, I was forced to listen to the worshiping, and then I realized what it was like to be heard and listened to from a reckless, loving God. After that, I left with a renewed heart and heard and experienced every single thing, like listening and being able to accept the love in everything that I do and daily struggles and burdens. God in the moment was the peace in the midst of a darkness. He showed me the power of trusting in his plan and glory. He gave me a place to run to whenever I needed and promised. He would promise that I'd grow stronger. And in my life right now, I see him with my family as they continue to go to church with me. Every single day when I see problems, I give it up to God. And I ensure that even though I had times before where it hurt, I make sure to give it to him and understand that there's love behind everything. He will forever be the hands on my shoulders and lifting me up as I grow and continue into later stages.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Josh.
Proud of you, brother.
Yeah. That's so good. So good. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things I love about his story, but sometimes people, when they're not sure about, like, worship or the power of worship, isn't that amazing that Josh had this encounter with God as they were worshiping, and he was just observing and saw, and then the Holy Spirit, like, moved, and that was one of the turning points for you. So beautiful. That and the power of just, like, adults who are here for our teenagers and here for the teenagers that are coming from wherever else. Man, it's just beautiful. So good. So cool to notice. All right, next up, this year we got to meet somebody really cool and befriend Kelly Riffle. So would you all give it up and welcome our friend Kelly Riffle.
I'm probably not as cool as you.
You are super cool. We know anybody in your small group. We all know you're cool.
Oh, that's so kind. That's, good morning. I'm Kelly. I'm grateful to be able to be with you this morning and to be sharing a short testimony of how God showed up in my story this past season. Some background and context to what's been going on. My husband, my partner, best friend in life, passed away. We'd known each other for 34 years, and it was about 4 years ago now that he passed. Also during that time, I was working at a large church up in Phoenix, and I was well connected to a community, and I was serving with purpose. After my husband passed, I was in grief, uncertainty, and despair, not understanding really all the things that went along with that. I wasn't prepared for all the secondary losses that I would encounter that felt all-consuming as everything in my life felt like it had changed. My soul knew intuitively that it couldn't continue in the job space in the church that I was a part of up in Phoenix. And so for a variety of reasons and for ultimately for healing to take place, I needed to not be there any longer. And so that meant losing the community, the people, the connections that I was a part of. And because I lived in Chandler and I didn't want to commute back and forth, I found myself in a season not really surrounded by people. So after a few months, I joined a grief share group. Yay, I loved the advertisement for that earlier. It was a balm of healing for me. It connected me with people going through similar emotions and with the loneliness that I was experiencing. I was also struggling to find a church where I could worship, but it led to me for a time period where I wasn't going to church. I was in a season of navigating my own sadness, feeling alone, and not having friends that really understood and to help me process my life changes. This was true for me even while I was going weekly to a Christian counselor. I knew God was with me and always available, but I still felt empty and alone. My person, I'm a people person. I've always been surrounded in my home and in environments where it involves people, and that's a big part of who I am and how God talks to me and how I flourish. So I was praying to God to bring a person or people into my life that were available for connection and friendships. And God met me through taking a step to join a Bible study at a church. It was a women's Bible group. And the leader was listening and paying attention to my story. And she was also curious about my own leadership and gifting and the way that I experience God. And I told her that I do a lot of psychology and how people grow and formation. And so she invited me to start leading a weekly group. And so that was very life-giving for me. We did a book series called The Apprentice series. It was life-giving for me in that I got to serve, I had purpose, and it led me to a community of connection and the things that I had been praying for. The apprentice group was about 2 years, and that kind of leads me up to this past year where God continued to connect me with the same group of women, but into a little bit different lens of what that looks like. So we've been doing Practicing the Way groups. I'm a part of a smaller group of women that we meet once a week, and we're learning about the practices of Jesus. You know, things like slowing down and solitude and generosity and Sabbath and fasting and different things. And we're real with each other, and we're talking about real things. And the second group God put together was initially from the apprentice group of women when we were doing the book study. 13 of us women meet once a week in my house, which is a blessing to me because I enjoy people in my environment. I enjoy hosting, hospitality, and I get to be the pastor of the living room, so to speak. And it's just helped shape this new season in a way I didn't expect. God always does more than we ask or we can imagine. In fact, we recently as a group were just like, wow, look what God did. Like, and to be able to hear everybody's story and where they've been and how they ended up in that group. And that brings me also to last Easter. I was aching inside to attend church and to worship, and God led me here to Hope. I was met in the service with an answer to prayer for church community, and a church community that didn't seem to be trying so hard, which kind of follows along with what a lot of Doug was sharing. Like, it just helped me to feel like I could be myself and that to truly come as I was, because I was still struggling. You know, it's hard when you're showing up single to everything and no one's entering in with you and you don't know anyone. So God confirmed Hope as an answer to prayer, and it's true. I found a grace-based family where anyone can find and follow Jesus together. I also, after coming back after Easter, I noticed that there was a Sabbath practice that was going to be starting, so I signed up for that, and then I joined a group of wonderful women that did the Sabbath practice together, so that was immediate way for me to begin to get to know people here at Hope, and I just can't say enough for how God worked in my life and to the women that were there. I also joined a weekly group in the fall here at Hope, so yay, more community, more connection, more friends. I'm trusting God to continue what he's begun, both a good work in me and for those that are around my life, watching how God transforms lives. I'm still navigating being single and living life in my home by myself. But God is showing me a new thing also in showing me a balanced life of people and the beauty that also can be also by being my own best friend and spending time with myself. So I also want to say thank you to you all, because whether you realize it or not, you have been loving, welcoming, and a group of caring people who have brought me grace and encouragement in a season when I needed you more than you know. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. It's so fun to... We're in the small group with Kelly, so that's part of how we got to know Kelly. And so it's just been amazing to watch her openness with her story of loss and then God bringing her through these other formational experiences that bring her deeper, and yet her heart to be connected to a church family. And we're just honored, Kelly, and we're better with you in our church family. So, so grateful for you, and thanks for being willing to share part of your story. All right, last but not least, we have, come on, start moving, mister. We have one of our own leadership team members, somebody that I've known since I got here almost eight years ago. But every year we get to know each other a little better and a little more. And this year, we were in a small group as well and got to know my brother even better. And so I'm excited for you to tell them some of your recent story.
All right, hey, how's everyone doing today? My name is O.K.
Oh, I didn't say your name, but...
Oh. I did.
Did you? I didn't. Did you?
I'm saying it.
You will? I'm just checking. They were begging for dad jokes in first service, but he said no.
And it still won't happen again, so... But thank you, Doug. So my name is O.K. Agba. I'm one of the leaders here at Hope. And I just want to thank both Josh and Kelly for sharing their stories. And I think that you're going to see like a lot of very... similar themes throughout all of these stories. So I'm going to break a little bit of convention and start with the current chapter, which is I passed the Arizona bar exam.
For those that don't know, does that make you a bartender? What does that make you?
We already did this in the first service.
No, you still didn't answer.
You got to leave the jokes to the professionals.
Not everybody knows. Are you a lawyer now?
I'm a lawyer now.
Okay, there we go. All right, just so we know, not everybody knows.
So I think that while that's a great announcement, the story itself has not always been sweet. This has kind of been close to 15 years in the making, and it's been a journey of a lot of frustration, a lot of heartache, a lot of doubt, a lot of anger during that time. So I think I'm gonna, at least to help give us a little bit of context and weight, I'll go back to 8 years ago. 8 years ago was my third attempt at the bar exam. I quit my job. My wife and I had saved for like about a year in order to make that happen. And I failed the bar by like 4 points of the cutoff. So after that, I had like really no prospect. I quit my job with no backup because I was like, all right, this is it. I've already learned from my past two attempts. God, I'm trusting you. Let's go. And for me not to make it that time was really crushing. And I don't think that I really showed it or expressed it a lot, but I was very angry at God because I was like, look, I burnt all my boats. I literally have no comfort to return to. I don't like where I was working. I knew I was designed for more. And for this to happen, I was like, God, that's not cool, bro. It's not. Mm-hmm. But God met me in a few ways, and I'll just share those very briefly. One, a friend of mine who I hadn't talked to in like forever called me out of the blue and said, hey, okay, are you still working where you're working? I was like, no. And he was like, oh, well, I have an opportunity for here where I'm working if you want to take it. I got that job. Second, my manager, when I'd been in that role for about a year, my manager noticed a posting, said, okay, I think it'd be a great fit for this. I looked at it. I didn't think I was. He made me complete the application for that job on the day that it was due. I ended up getting that job. And that kind of really propelled me to where I am currently. During the course of all this, I met a mentor because I was really yearning for mentorship, who ended up being the in-house counsel for the organization where I work. And I think that, her story is going to come in a little bit later. So, February of this year, I wrote the bar, and guess what? I didn't pass. I did not pass in February. And once again, I'm just kind of like, all right, God, I've done everything that I think that you want me to do. I've listened, I've trusted, I've kind of really waited for your voice. So if this is what it is, then I will be satisfied with that. I was just not fulfilled. And God met me again in two very poignant ways. Number one, my dad, just rifling through my stuff like he always does, like a little trash panda, he found my law school diploma with honors behind a cabinet. And he asked me, like, why is this here and not hanging up? And I didn't really have a good answer for him at the time. But truthfully, I was just kind of like, I just didn't feel worthy. It's kind of like, well, I'm young, I'm attractive, I'm sexy, I'm intelligent, hardworking, and it's not working out. What's the point of hanging this up here? But he said, I want you to remember who you are and what you've done. So hang it up. And it kind of really renewed in me. My spirit was invigorated. The second poignant part is my mentor. When I told her that I didn't pass February, she was like, oh, well, what's your plan? I was like, well, I think I'm just going to hang it up. It's not working out. And she said a bunch of stuff to me, but the one thing she said to me that stood out was, write it one more time. So all she said, just write it one more time. And I had like a week to get all the stuff together because I had missed deadline one and deadline two because I was just kind of like, this is not happening for me. I submit all my stuff and then we come to my current chapter. So I say all this not to brag, because I know that there's still more chapters at the end of the story. But it's really a sense of encouragement, because I don't know where you are, what you're waiting for God on. But a couple of things have been really made clear to me during my story, which is that, one, God loves you. He sees you, because I really yearn to be seen. He hears you, and he keeps his promises. So wherever you are in your stage or your story, I just wanted to encourage that. Use that as a word of encouragement for you as you go into the new year. So thank you.
Thank you. I don't know if he's going to tell dad jokes. Maybe we need to start telling lawyer jokes now that he's official. His wife says, I'll do it. Yeah, there we go. We got it. Oh, man, thank you. I mean, okay, your story, like, just the persistence and the waiting, and I know you. You're a smart guy, and so to have that, like, get so close but not quite, but then how God worked through other people to encourage you, to put you in the right place, to prepare you, and you just kept saying yes. You kept saying yes, and it took way longer than you expected or wanted, but now that goal that you've worked for is here. It's here. And just so you know, too, while it would be awesome to have a really rich lawyer tithing to our church, he has a heart for justice and for people that are unseen or marginalized. So a lot of his focus is going to be in that realm. So, man, I love what you're doing, and I love you. Okay, so... hey, can we thank all of these three for their courage? Yeah. It is vulnerable to tell your story, and part of just hearing some of their stories is a way to remind us that, like, hey, that whole Christmas story of God coming near and being with us, and then all the surrounding stories woven within it of the waiting, of the confusion, of the not being sure what's next, of just having to continue to trust Jesus and follow God as he's bringing about what he will bring about. Those are the same themes that run through our stories as well. In fact, our stories are the kind of stories where the more we trust Jesus, the more we will start to intersect with the stories of Scripture and with the stories of our brothers and sisters, because most of our stories don't have these kind of like nice, clean start and stop endings and transitions to the next chapter. So many times it's a dip and a rise and a confusion and darkness and wondering and thinking maybe this will never happen. Maybe I'm stuck in this family situation and it's going to be hopeless for me. Maybe this loss that I've endured will mark me in ways that I'll never recover from. But as we trust Jesus and walk with Jesus, we know that our story is never over. It's never over. He is involved. He is engaged. And he is working towards your good. And all we're called to do is to trust him, to take that next step. That doesn't mean we'll have all the answers. That doesn't mean we have to agree with every point of theology that the people around us have. No, no, no. It's as simple as let's just trust Jesus and let's walk through this together. Let's walk through this together. Now, this coming year, I think a lot of us, you know, it gets the beginning of a year and we wonder what's next for us. And I think the beginning of a year is a really good time to just pause and to wonder where might God be at work. Because maybe you're thinking of some places in your story that you're not sure about right now, or you're wondering what's next. Or maybe this even stirred some things in you where you've taken your hope and sort of packaged it, pushed it down, set it aside, put it in the closet somewhere, because it's too hard to think about that. But maybe even some of these stories made you wonder, is there somewhere that God wants to be at work in my life, in my story? Is there somewhere he's inviting me to trust him? And so I just think a very simple way for us to wrap up as we're now looking forward into 2026 is to wonder about this question that's on the screen. Is there a word or a phrase or even a posture that God is inviting you into for this coming year? Especially given your story or what's maybe stirring for you right now, is there a word for the year ahead, or a phrase that maybe describes the year ahead, even a posture that God is inviting you into? This is not like, here's my goal and my resolution, and that's fine, do that. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm asking, is there something that maybe God is at work in your story? Have any of you ever like paused to think about like, hey, God, what's my word for the year? Has anybody ever... few of us around, yeah, there's a handful of us around the room. It's something that we do pretty regularly. And what's good about that is I think it kind of frames a little bit of like, hey, I'm going to be on the lookout so that I can ponder, so that I can reflect, so that I can look back at the year or notice when something happens like, oh yeah, this might be a theme of what God is doing in my story. It just helps us to notice. And so I think it can be really helpful. I think having a word or a phrase that God might give you can help as you approach your next year and enter into it. Now, some of us that have done this, like, there can be really involved processes for this. Like, like, you know, some people fast and pray, and I think that's wonderful and great. And but I also think that sometimes, in fact, what I figured today was like, hey, what if we just give God a couple of moments here? Just like a couple moments of, and we'll do this in just a bit, where we get quiet and I'll have Troy and Mike play, where we're just going to get quiet and just take a couple minutes to see if maybe God would speak a word or a phrase to you, or give you a picture, or kind of give you a posture for this upcoming year. I figured, why not? Why not just pause and invite the Holy Spirit to move right now, since we're here, and just see what he does? Now, some of you, again, like, I've got a whole kind of thing that I go through and do some praying and listening and journaling and writing that helps me sometimes really narrow this down. And that's good. Do that. But also, let's just see for some of us if God might have something for you in this moment. And part of how we frame this is a question that we pray around here all the time when it comes to this kind of stuff. And the question is this. Next slide up here. God, just ask God, what do you want me to know about this? Just ask. I mean, again, there's no pressure here. Is there a word or a phrase, maybe a posture? God, is there something you want me to know about that? And just listen, sense, see. And if this is kind of a new idea for you, it's not, this isn't rocket science. Just the first thing that comes to your heart, just write it down. Just write it down. Put it down somewhere. Even if it sounds a little like, what? That's even more fun, because then it's not like you have to take that and guide your life with it. Bounce that off of somebody that knows God, that walks with God, and ask them, do you think this could be God? Like, all this stuff needs to be discerned in community anyway. So we're just practicing. It's just practice. This is not, you know, like perfection that must happen. Just ask God, Lord, what do you want me to know about this? Is there a word, a phrase, a posture that God is inviting me into in this coming year? We're going to give you a couple minutes here, and go ahead and just write something down. I'm going to give you 2 minutes right now just to pause, just to listen. And I'll come back and we'll walk us into the closing and the song. Invite the rest of the worship team to come on up. And I just want to remind us, and in fact, if you're just engaged in this too, as maybe you even just keep asking, God, what do you want me to know? And then write down whatever comes. We're going to respond here with a song that's kind of a prayer. It's kind of a posture. It's not a song of like, oh, hey, I'm going to strive harder this year. It's not that. It's not a, hey, we're going to have more resolve, and I'm going to do better. And it's not that kind of song. It's really an invitation that says, Jesus, I'm going to lean into you. I'm going to lean into you. I want to open my heart to trusting you. And I'm going to ask you, Jesus, to be at work in me. And all through this series, we've each different week, if you notice our storyline displays, these really pieces of art up in the front. There's been a different theme that we've invited people to each week. And this week, I'm going to invite you in a moment to come to one of these two black tables. And there's these little slips of paper. My wife gave me one, but of course I've left it over there. There's these little slips of paper and these Sharpies. And just write, maybe what you want to do is just write a word as a prayer for what you are asking God for this year. Just one word, maybe a phrase, but just a word. And as a way of just kind of moving toward that and engaging more than just prayer between, you know, thinking it toward God or even speaking it, just to have the courage to write, to walk up and to attach that word to the storyline as a reminder that God is still weaving your story into his story and he is still at work. So as we sing, you're invited to do that. I'm going to invite you to stand and join us now as we sing this song as really a prayer to God, but you can start moving whenever you want toward these tables and write those words and attach them to the storyline.